Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? Hey, I'm going to be very honest with you guys this morning. The message that I'm going to preach to you this morning was not actually the message that I originally intended to preach. You see, Kyle asked me to preach for graduation Sunday, and so I started on a graduation message to speak to you graduates. You know, and I had all these great ideas. You know, it was going to be about like leveling up to the next level in life, and had, you know, it was going to be cool, right? Well, we had a bit of a technical error, I guess. And so, because we're human and we mess up sometimes, right? And so we have a staff calendar, and it actually said that graduation Sunday was next Sunday. And so there's a bit of confusion there. And so I shelved this graduation message that I was working on, and instead I started working on this message that God gave me a long time ago, and I started developing this message, only to find out that graduation next Sunday is actually this Sunday. After I made like a lot of headway on this message. And so, you know what? This is just some behind the scenes of what goes on here in City Church. And I'm not afraid to say it. We're human. We make mistakes. We mess up just like everyone else. But here's the thing. God works in our mistakes. God works in our mess ups. And I love it because, you know, as I sat with this message and I started working on it more and more, I'm so confident that this is the message. This is exactly what you need to hear today. This is exactly the message that God wants you to hear. You know, there was a lot of spiritual opposition also this week and even this morning, and just things, different things going on. And you know what? When the enemy is coming after you, wanting to stop something, you know you're going in the right direction. And so, but man, I'm just, in the name of Jesus, we just bind anything of the enemy right now. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And man, I pray that this message speaks to your heart. You know, I don't have a fun intro story that, you know, or something entertaining that I usually do. I'm just going to jump right into the meat of it. Are you cool with that? All right. So the title of this message is You Are the Salt of the Earth. You are the salt of the earth. And this is something that Jesus said. This is a statement that Jesus made in Matthew 5, verse 13. And we're going to dive deeper into this one verse. And we're going to find out exactly what did Jesus mean by this statement? What did he mean by this statement? And what does it mean for us as Jesus followers in the culture that we live in today? And so I believe that what we're going to discover is that it is incredibly timely and relevant, and it has tremendous implications for us who call ourselves Jesus followers to be the salt of the earth in the way that Jesus meant it. And so we are going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And as you turn there in your Bibles, or as you swipe there on your Bible app, I want to give you guys some quick background before we dive into it, because it's always important to read the Bible in its context. Amen. We got to understand it fully. And so Jesus, he's speaking these words right after he delivered his famous Sermon on the Mount. You know the Sermon on the Mount. It was Jesus. He had a bunch of followers. His disciples were there. They sat down on a hill, and he teaches them one of the most famous Bible teachings, one of the most famous sermons ever. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And he preaches through this one section called the Beatitudes. And immediately after talking about the Beatitudes, he says this verse that we're going to read. And so we're going to read this verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Before we do, let's bow our heads and our hearts and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the words that you have given us and the words that have been recorded and preserved in Scripture, that we can glean wisdom off of them even now. Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts, that even if these words were spoken hundreds and thousands of years ago, that they are still relevant to our lives today. And so, Father, would you speak to us? Would you be, your Holy Spirit, just like a double-edged sword, pierce into our hearts and let us know you in a deeper way? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says this: You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the salt of the earth. Now, to understand what Jesus meant by you are the salt of the earth, we have to understand how Jesus and his disciples and the early followers understood salt in their day. Because today, the connotation of salt is completely different from what it was back then. If you typed in salt in Urban Dictionary, it would describe salt as this. It would describe salt as someone who is angry, someone who is agitated, and who is upset. Now, dude, that dude is salty, right? Different meaning, right? Different description. See, Jesus did not mean that you are the angry, agitated, and upset of the earth. Different understanding of salt. So let me first start by saying that salt is extremely valuable in Jesus' day. It was a precious commodity, and there was thousands of positive use cases for it. See, salt was so important and valuable that Roman soldiers were paid partially and sometimes fully in salt. Can you imagine going to the ATM, you want to withdraw some cash, and instead a bag of salt pops out? See, this is where the expression worth his salt comes from. And the word salary, who has received a salary before? The word salary comes from the Latin word salarum, which literally means salt pay. So at one point in time, an ounce of silver and an ounce of salt were worth the same thing. So it's salt in Jesus' day was incredibly valuable. It was incredibly precious. And so when Jesus is saying that you are the salt of the earth, it has incredible weight and significance to it. And we need to understand what Jesus means by it. Now, there are thousands of use cases for salt in Jesus' time. And some of those use cases actually changed the world and helped shape civilization. And we're going to learn about a few of them. But specifically, I want to talk about three attributes of salt. And it speaks to what Jesus means when he's telling his disciples and his followers that you are the salt of the earth. And so if you came in here today, you guys got a note sheet, and it helps you follow along with the message, and there's some points in there you can fill out. And the first point in your note sheet is this. There's three attributes of salt. Number one, salt is a cleaning and healing agent. Salt cleans the mess that it touches. And this is one of the ways that the people in Jesus' day understood and viewed salt. You see, in ancient Rome, one of the use cases of salt was they used it as an antiseptic. They would mix it with water and they'd use it to wash things. They would clean wounds with it. They'd clean their hands after they went to the restroom. There was which wasn't much of a restroom back then. It was more of a hole in the ground. There was a box with salt in it, and they would use it and rub it in their hands. It was a type of disinfectant. And even in ancient Egypt, they would use salt to make a type of soap. It was kind of like their version of hand sanitizer that we're so accustomed to now, right? It was a way that they would stay clean and wash out the impurities. So the very Roman word for salt, which is sal, is derived from the name Salis, or their goddess of health. And Hippocrates, you guys might remember that name Hippocrates in your history class. He was an ancient physician, traditionally known as the father of medicine. He would use salt in a medicinal way because he found out that there was healing and reparative nature to salt. So salt, it heals, and it cleans the mess that it touches. Now, as an illustration, because I always have illustrations, this right here is a skillet, right? Who's familiar with a skillet? Who has cooked with a skillet before, right? This skillet, it lives in City Church's kitchen, and I use it most days to cook my lunch, right? And so I learned something new about cooking with a skillet when I started cooking with a skillet. Did you know that you're not supposed to put a skillet in a dishwasher? And you're not supposed to wash a skillet like a normal pan because you can destroy the protective layer that is over it, right? Instead, what the recommended way, and we have a skillet cam. Let's see if the skillet cam is, there it is. All right, let's see that. All right, see, this is a dirty skillet because I used it, right? The recommended way of cleaning a skillet is with salt, kosher salt. See that? There it is. Salt. And so what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take this salt and you pour it over the filth and the grime and the mess that is in this skillet, right? And just be forewarned, I am going to make a mess on stage this morning, and it's okay, I'll clean it up, right? And you take a paper towel and you just start rubbing it in, and notice how the salt starts absorbing all the filth and the grime that is in this skillet, right? Now, this is something similar to what Jesus does for our lives. Amen? Now, isn't this true? That Jesus, he will pour out his righteousness. He pours out his holiness, which is pure and white as snow, over our filth, over our mess. And because of that, we can be clean. See how it's working in there? Ah, that's pretty good. So I don't want to make too much of a mess. I'm going to dump this in this bowl right here. All right, so now we're getting a clean skillet here. Now Jesus, he takes our mess and our grime, and this is the great exchange, right? So that we can be clean, so that we can be holy. See, Jesus was the only one who lived a perfect and pure life. He was the only one who lived a spotless and sinless life. And because of him, we can be clean. That's all right. It's clean enough. All right. And so, this is salt. And this is really, this is the first step. Now, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 22, it says this, God made him, Jesus, who did not know sin, to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness in him. You see, Jesus traded his righteousness for our sinfulness. He poured out his holiness, which is white as snow, over our filth and our grime so that we can be clean, so that we can be holy. And this is the first step. This is the first step to being salt, because you got to be part of the family of God. You got to be accepted. You have to accept his cleansing sacrifice. Being salt, he is talking about kingdom people. He's talking about people who are about his kingdom. And to be a citizen of heaven, you have to first accept the sacrifice and trust in Jesus as your Lord. This is the great exchange, his righteousness for our sinfulness, so that you can have that righteousness and be clean and holy. Now, for us to be salt, we need to be agents in our world that clean the filth and heal the hurt. See, wherever you go, be the source of good. In your homes, in your schools, in your workplaces, be wholesome, be helpful in your actions, wholesome in your speech. See, time and time again throughout the scriptures, God instructs his people to do good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." There are people that you know and will come across in your life whose lives are a mess, whose lives are as filthy as a dirty skillet. And they need people to help them, clean up their mess, to help them heal their hurts, to come alongside them. See, they need people, salt people, in their lives to help them get on their feet again. See, there was a time in my life when I was a filthy mess. And I am forever grateful for the Christians who came alongside me and walked alongside me to help me and pulled me out of it. If anyone can relate, say amen. Amen. See, Christians, be the salt. Be salt agents that clean and heal. Now, the second attribute of salt is this, and this is the next point in your note sheets. Salt preserves and it protects. Salt preserves and it protects. See, one of the other use cases of salt in Jesus' day was it was a preservative. They didn't have refrigerators or the frozen aisle at Sprouts or any groceries back in the day. So they used salt. They used salt so that their food can last longer. And because of salt and its nature as a preservative, it eliminated the dependence on seasonal foods. And it made it possible to preserve certain foods like fish and meat. And because of the preservative nature of salt, it became such an influential force, salt was, that it started shaping society because it made certain foods tradable. So because these foods can last longer and survive a journey, it started shaping trading routes, thus shaping where populations started to settle, thus shaping civilizations as it developed. See, salt changed the world. Good old salt. Now, Jesus references salt in other gospels, and we get a better idea of what he is talking about in salt. And one of those gospels is in Luke. In Luke chapter 14, verse 34, he says this, Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Now, what use case is salt used for the soil or the manure pile? Why would you use salt for the soil or the manure pile? It's called potash, or the scientific name, potassium chloride, which is a type of salt found in the Dead Sea, and it was used to make fertilizer. See, they would spread this salt over the manure pile so that it would turn into fertilizer. Now, remember, I said salt was an antiseptic, right? And so what salt would do is it would make the bad things not grow and help the good things grow. It preserved the fertilizing property of the manure. Otherwise, it would rot and it would ferment, and then it couldn't be used for fertilizer. So salt kept the bad things from growing, and it helped the good things to grow. And likewise, if we're to be salt, we should prevent the bad and promote the growth of the good in our lives and in the lives of those around us. See, salt preserves and it protects. Now, back to the skillet, right? I'm going to clean this a little bit more because I think I can do a little better job. The skillet, salt doesn't just clean it. Salt actually protects it as well. You see, what you're supposed to do before how you prepare a skillet for use properly, you have to do a thing called seasoning a skillet. Now, this is all stuff that I learned, you know, before I was like, just use it, you know. But you're actually supposed to season a skillet. And how you do that is after you clean it with salt, you're supposed to take some oil and rub it in on it, or, you know. So you take some oil, rub that in. And so what happens is the salt and the oil, they start to form a protective layer over it when it's heated up. And so when you bake that skillet and you heat it up, the salt and the oil and the fat, when you use it to cook, it starts to bond with the metal of the skillet, and it creates this natural nonstick surface. So you don't have this, you know, sticky surface on there. But not only that, it also protects the skillet from rusting, and it lets it last longer and gives it a longer life. Did you know that a properly seasoned skillet that's well cared for can actually last a lifetime? You can pass it on throughout generations. It'll last over 100 years if you take care of this thing. Season it well. And so salt, it preserves and it protects, right? Now, our society is in decay, morally and spiritually. And Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. See, salt preserves the ways of God. Salt protects and cares for life. And all throughout Scripture, it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it speaks of this, that we are to preserve and to protect. In Psalms chapter 82, verse 4, it says, "Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." Philippians 2 in the New Testament, verse 4 says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And James 1, verse 27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Christians, if you are salt, you're called to be salt, the salt of the earth. And so the salt preserves and protects the things of God. It preserves what is good, and it protects from what is evil. Now, the last attribute of salt is this, and this is the next point in your note sheet. Number 3, salt makes things taste better. Now, this is something that we're all familiar with salt, right? Salt makes things taste better because salt draws out the good flavors that are subtly hidden in the food. Now, the other benefit for a well-seasoned skillet with salt is that layer, that protective layer that is on the skillet, it doesn't just protect it, it also provides extra flavor. Then this is important. It provides extra flavor for the food when it is heated up. Only when it is heated up does it start activating the layer of food. Now, this is my camping stove. Here we go. Is that on? Better be on. All right. Okay, so Only when it's heated up does the seasoned skillet and all that flavor get activated. And so when you start cooking, those flavors, they start getting into the food. Now this preaches as well, doesn't it? That how you prepare beforehand, when the heat isn't on, when the heat turns on, it starts coming out. So how you prepare when the heat is off is brought out when the heat is on. Now, what is drawn out of you when the heat and the stresses of life come? Is it anger? Is it impatience? Worry or ungratefulness? Or is it godliness? You see, how you prepare in times of peace is what is drawn out in times of war. Prepare for trouble in times of peace, and when trouble comes knocking, peace comes answering. And so, how should a Christian prepare in times of peace? Well, we need to immerse ourselves in the things of God, right? We need to meditate on his scripture, on the word, and we need to know his character and his attributes. And like a well-seasoned skillet, the things of God, his goodness, his kindness, his patience, his mercy, his character will get so baked into us that when the stresses of life heat up, the flavors of God seep out of us. And so salt makes things taste better. And you are salt. Now, there was a time, long time ago, I lived in Brazil. And if you know anything about Brazil, they know how to barbecue. And so Joy said, if I'm going to do this, you better not get anything on this shirt. So I'm wearing an apron. Joyce is my wife. So I learned the secret. If you've ever been to an all-you-can-eat Brazilian barbecue, you guys have been there, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so I learned the secret to a good Brazilian steak, and it's very simple. Ooh, it's getting toasty. All right, the secret is, well, it's very simple. Let's see. It's salt. It's a good cut of beef. And simple rock salt. And so, where's my tools here? Here it is. All right. Let's do the bigger one. There we go. All right. So what I learned is the right amount of salt, just like this. Here we go. Where's my steak cam? Is that better? Ah, steak cam. All right. Yeah, you just kick that on there. On the other side. All right. And then I'm going to just add a little bit of, where's my butter? It's in my hand. Add a little butter just to make sure nothing sticks. Well, it won't because it's well seasoned, but good. All right. That's a lot of butter. So the secret to a good steak is simply salt. Why? Because salt, it draws out the subtle flavors that are hidden within the steak. So there you go. There's the steak cam right there. Ooh, a little bit of more salt. All right. So this thing is going to cook. Just let it go. As a fire. There we go. All right. I've never done this, preaching while I'm cooking. This is awesome. All right. So salt, it makes things taste better. It takes the flavors that are already in the beef, and it starts drawing it out of it. So do you draw the good out of the places that you go and out of the people that you meet and you're around? You know, and you guys already know this, that the people that you surround yourself with, they influence you. And so maybe we need to be around more salt people in our life so that be around people that draw the good out of us, right? But this also works the other way around. Are you the type of person that draws the best out of someone? Are you the type of person that sees and believes the good in someone and helps draw the best out of them? Now, I love the Message paraphrase of the verse that we're reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. How are we doing, steak? We're doing good?
All right.
This is the Message paraphrase. Check it out. It says this. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Isn't that awesome? Now, there's a reverend, his name was R.T. France, and he once said that disciples, if they are true to their calling, make the earth a pure and more palatable place. Now, when people are around you, do they taste the goodness of God through you, through the way that you live, through the way that you act, through the way that you love, through the way that you speak? Are you salt in someone else's life that draws out the God flavors, right? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt. See, what is salty speech? What is salty speech? Salty speech is infused with the very love of Christ and his Holy Spirit living in us as believers. See, his presence in our lives should permeate all that we do and all that we say and how we act and how we react. And we should draw out the God flavors wherever we are and with whomever we are with, because you are the salt of the earth. Yeah, this is looking good. All right, so God purposely places people in your life so that you can be vessels of God's love to them. In Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a very appropriate verse for right now as we're cooking. Now, adversely, unfortunately, there have been many cases where some people have had a bad taste in Christians. And unfortunately, one of the main reasons why someone leaves a church or doesn't want to do anything with a church is because they had a bad taste of a Christian. Now, let's read the main verse again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its salt be restored? Its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And so how does salt lose its saltiness? How does salt lose its saltiness? That can't actually happen because salt, it's sodium chloride, right? And so that doesn't lose its saltiness. So what is Jesus talking about, salt losing its saltiness? The only way that can happen is if it gets diluted or polluted with something else. See, when you mix in impurities to the salt, like this, that's disgusting. When you mix in these impurities to the salt and you let the dirt in, it loses its saltiness because it's diluted with other things. And so when you let things of the world seep into your soul, when you start accepting of the morality of the world, when you start adopting the norms of the current culture and let sin into your life, you're becoming diluted salt. Now, do you think I'm going to use this to season this steak? No, that's gross, right? Because it's diluted salt. A little bit longer. And so, turned out pretty good. And so, what is this salt used for? What is it good for? You can't use this, and so it needs to be just thrown out and trampled under people's feet, right? Because you're not going to use that for food. You're not going to use that to protect and heal things because it's wasted. Don't worry, I'll clean it up, guys. I'm going to vacuum it up. I know some of you guys are like, it's all right. It'll be all right. And so Jesus, he compares a disciple who does not live out the values of the kingdom with unsalted salt, salt that cannot fulfill its purpose. And so Christians, we must be different from the world. We got to be different from the world. And just like a lifeboat, now Pastor Wayne knows about this. He works for the Coast Guard. Just like a lifeboat, it's meant to be in the sea, right? But if the sea gets into the lifeboat, we got a big problem, right? And so you are in the world, but you're not of the world. All right. Oop, got a little extra crispy on that side. It's all good. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Christians, we got to be different from the world. We have to be in it, but not of it. And just like a lifeboat, We got to be in the sea so we could save people. We can't let the sea get into us, right? So be pure salt, someone who reflects the image of God and reflects the characteristics of God. See, and what are the characteristics of God? It's the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit are this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let those things seep out of you. Let those things be an example that you set to the world around you. And so these are the three characteristics, the three attributes of salt that people in Jesus' day would understand. And so we need to be salt the way that Jesus and his disciples understood what salt was, right? And so I want to conclude with this one effect of salt. And this is the last point in your note sheets. It's this: salt changes its environment after making contact with it. Salt changes its environment after making contact with it. See, this is what I mean. You see, we get a better understanding of this from Matthew 5, verse 13, in the full context of what Jesus is talking about, right? Don't just take like little verses and extrapolate what you think it means. Take the entire context of what Jesus was speaking about. And in this moment, Jesus is speaking, he just preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he was talking about the kingdom of God. And he just talked about the part which is known as the Beatitudes. And he's explaining what kingdom people look like. And they are this. He says, Jesus taught, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. All right, I can be a kingdom person. Blessed are the merciful. Amen. I agree with that, Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart. That sounds really good. But then Jesus ends the Beatitudes with something really strange. He said, blessed are the persecuted. What? Man, Jesus, you were on a roll there. You're doing really good with that list. You got to end it with, blessed are the persecuted? Really? Then in the next verse, he dives deeper into this. And this is right before he says, you are the salt. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, this is right before when he says, you are the salt. He says, blessed are you when others revile at you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. That's what he preached before saying, you are the salt of the earth. Blessed are the persecuted. You are the salt of the earth. Let me try to let you understand this. Do you know what was the greatest thing? You know what the greatest thing to happen to the church was? The early church, besides the resurrection and besides the receiving of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, the greatest thing to happen to the early church was the diaspora in Acts chapter 8. The diaspora, it means the dispersion, and it's referring to the scattering of the Jewish people from Israel. In Acts chapter 8, I want to read this to you. And Saul approved of the execution. Now, Saul is Paul before he got converted. He approved of the execution of Stephen. They just martyred Stephen, the first martyr, the first person to die for that was a Christian. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, and those who were scattered went about preaching the word. You see, the greatest thing that, let me check this guy. We're good. The greatest thing to happen to the early church, besides the resurrection and besides the receiving of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, was they were persecuted, because it led to them being scattered beyond Jerusalem. You see, before that, they were all stuck in a holy huddle in Jerusalem, right? They needed something to shake them up and shake them out of their salt shaker so they can get out. And where they landed was in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And guess what? The church grew because they were salt. They were the salt of the earth. Did you know that salt doesn't have to do anything? It just needs to be salt. The effectiveness of salt happens when it comes into contact with something else. And the early church, just by being salt, they changed their environment, which changed the world. There was a reaction. Now, Christian, when you accepted Christ into your life, you accepted the Holy Spirit to dwell inside you, there was a reaction. There was a spiritual reaction, and it changed your life, right? Because you're not the same person who you once were. If Jesus is truly working in your life, you're not the same. There's a spiritual reaction. And when you let the Holy Spirit work within you and through you, you are forming a new character that is more like Christ. You are being salt. And when you come into contact with others, a reaction occurs because it's Christ's love in you that is exuded to the other person. You see, you start to react with another person because you see them the way Christ sees them. And you tell them about the love of Jesus, and you show them about the love of Jesus because you are salt. Salt changes its environment after making contact. Now, salt is only effective when it leaves the salt shaker, and you need to make contact. Let me check this again. It's all right. Doing all right. The cool thing about a skillet is that it disperses the heat evenly. Now I'm getting into the technicals of a skillet. And so it's just as hot on the handle as all these other places, so don't touch the handle of a skillet, it'll burn you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him, Christ, everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." We should be a pleasing aroma. Now, those of you guys in the front row, you guys are probably smelling some of this right now, and I hope you're not a vegan because it smells really good. I'm sorry for the vegans in the crowd. This message isn't for you or this illustration. It is for you, the message, the illustration, no. We are to be a pleasing aroma of God in the world. And some of you, you know, you're smelling this right now, and we're getting close to lunch, and there's a reaction. You might be getting hungry, right? And one of the side effects of salt is that it causes thirst, right? It causes thirst. Now, your influence in the world should cause a thirst and a hunger for God. You see, let the Holy Spirit shine in you and through you so that you can cause a thirst and a hunger in the people that you are around. And this is why I believe that this message is so important for us today, right now. It's so important because of what's happening in the world, in our world. You know, for you graduates, this is incredibly important. For all of us who are listening, if you're tuning online or watching us later, this is important that you hear this. We are just getting out of a year of being locked down in a salt shaker, right? And in the next few weeks, and in California specifically, we're going to start returning back to some sense of normalcy. Now, of course, things are not going to be completely normal, right? Things are still going to be different. But in the next coming weeks, restrictions are going to be lifted. Workplaces are going to start opening up at a greater capacity. Schools in the fall are going to start meeting back in person again. And more people who have felt like they've been locked up for the past year are going to yearn and long to be with other people again. And so now more than ever, is it vitally important for the church to be the salt of the earth, to be the aroma of Christ, that you can exude the good flavors of God to the world, that in your workplace, amongst your peers, in your schools, in your classrooms, in your gym, in your home, with your family, with your friends, you can be the salt that Jesus was talking about. Because salt is only effective when it is out of the salt shaker and when it makes contact with something else. I think this could use a little more salt. Yeah, that looks good. All right. And so, I think this is pretty much done. Let's see. I'll use a clean plate. Ah, that's good. That should work. All right. Woo! Now, of course, Joyce, my wife, is always talking about aesthetics, right? And so, she's like, you gotta get a basil leaf, make it look cool. There you go. All right. We got a steak. I think it's finished. And so, salt has an effect when it makes contact with people, and we are the salt of the earth. Now, this steak is done, right? I need a volunteer. Now, I see a lot of hands, but I actually had someone in mind. It's graduation Sunday today, and I'm going to bring someone up. Eddie, can you come up here real fast? I don't know if you guys know Eddie. Eddie, come up here, man. Eddie is also in charge of, today he's doing all the video cutting, so he's cutting all the stuff that's happening here on the cameras as well. But Eddie, he graduated last year, 2020. He didn't get to walk. We didn't do a graduation Sunday last year. And so, Eddie, happy graduation Sunday. You get a steak. And, no, I'm not going to feed you. I hope you like, yeah, it's medium rare. Wait. Wait, I got to do this. Hold on. I got to salt this thing. Ready? Salt. Salt is only, it's effective when it makes contact. Whoa, with what it touches. And so, here you go. Give it a shot. Eat one bite. Just one. Hopefully it's okay. Good. All right. Give a hand to Eddie. Thanks, man. Take it. You can take it back. I'm gonna take this thing off here. Okay. Thank you. I'm done cooking. All right. So as believers, we have the opportunity to participate in what God is doing in the world, in His kingdom work. And as the world starts to open up again, more and more the world needs us Christians to be the salt, to clean the filth in the world, to help heal the hurt that is in the world. We need to be agents that are helpful and do good, right? To be wholesome. We need to be Christians that preserve and protect and stand up for righteousness. We need to be positive influences in the world. And we need Christians to be the salt, to make things taste better, to make life taste like the God flavors that God intended to have. Because salt changes its environment after making contact with something, right? And so likewise, you are salt. You will change your environment when you make contact with it. Now, this is evident throughout history. Throughout history, the people of Jesus' followers have had such a tremendous positive impact on the world. It was Jesus' followers who championed social justice, who championed human rights, who led the abolishment of slavery. It was Jesus' followers, Christians, who revolutionized caregiving and the hospital system. Because of Christians, nurses exist, hospitals exist. Because of Christians, orphanages exist. Because of Jesus' followers, addiction rehab programs exist, like Celebrate Recovery or AA. And throughout history, it was Christians who championed the caring of the poor and the disadvantaged. Today, organizations like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army, they exist, and they were founded on Christian principles. And for a long time, in a long period of history, the leading provider of education was the church, was through Christians. Now, throughout history, Christians being the salt of the earth impacted the world in such a positive way. And so I want you to do one last thing. You are the salt of the world. You are the salt of your world. You are the salt of your sphere of influence, your friends, your family, your coworkers. You are the salt in their life, and people are watching you. They will see how you handle stressful situations in your job. They will see how you handle rude people in the workplace. They will notice the type of student you are, that you resist cheating, that you don't take shortcuts. They will see that you are hardworking, that you are truthful. Your friends and your family will see how you have extra grace. They will see how you have extra peace. They will see how your words, the words that come out of your mouth, are good and uplifting and encouraging. You see, be the salt in your world that cleans and heals, that preserves and protects, that makes the lives around you better. And most importantly, be the salt that people see God in you and that they develop a thirst and a hunger for God as well. And so I want you to look back at the points, the points that we've made. And I want you to replace the word salt with your name. Replace the word salt with your name. And so salt is a cleaning and healing agent, right? But for me, Obi is a cleaning and healing agent. Obi preserves and protects. Obi makes things taste better in a spiritual sense. Obi changes the environment he makes contact with. Let that be true of you as well. And let God work through you because you are the salt of the earth. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you have appointed us to be the salt of the earth. You have empowered us to be your hands and your feet, to love people, to help them. And so, God, would you allow us to be salt in the lives that you have placed in our midst, Lord? Lord, would you give us the courage? Would you give us the drive to go out there and love and help the people that you want us to be that shining example of your goodness? And Father, we just ask that because of what we do and because of the effects of us being salt in our friends and our family and our coworkers or other people's lives, that they would find a hunger to know you as well. Lord, if there's anyone here that feels that hunger and feels that thirst, that they want to be a part of your kingdom, they want to be salt people, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to their heart right now. And if that is you, if you were on that edge where you're like, you know what, I think that God is calling me to be a part of his family, or if you once were a Christian and you kind of fell backwards and just somehow you made it into church today, or you came across this video and stream and you're hearing these words and God is talking to you saying, it's time to come back, I want you to pray these simple words. Jesus, forgive me. Would you be the leader and Lord of my life? I want to follow you. I give my life to you. Holy Spirit, would you live inside of me? Change me from the inside out. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you just joined the family of God. Amen. And so it's a continual process. It's a continual process of being more and more like Christ. It's not just a one-time prayer. It's a discipleship journey. And so I want to encourage you to keep on coming to church. Get connected. Get connected and get discipled. Father God, we thank you for this message. Would you let what was spoken continue to marinate in our hearts, Lord? And would you change us from the inside out? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.